5-6, and we're going to be in a hold pattern here a little bit. We're getting some more details printed off before we start the official meeting. So anybody listening out there, we'll be starting in a few minutes. Thank you.
You got this, buddy.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kulk. Once again, we're meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's January 31st. It's a little bit after, well, it's approximately 1:15, 1:20 right now, I guess exactly. We're going to meet today for a work session on case number WM-13-56. Previously, we called that case number PU-113-56, but we upgraded it because this is actually a weights and measures case. I'm joined by my colleagues, Commissioner Randy Crispin and Commissioner Julie Fedorchek, and Patrick Fawn and Shelley from the Weights and Measures / Public Utilities staff. The process, I guess, for my colleagues is we had the informal here. I guess it was earlier last week, last Thursday, we had the informal. And then we basically, that was a chance where we all heard the company say their pitch, why they thought, you know, their position was correct. We had questions from the staff, and as well as we all had a chance to ask questions. But this is the first time the three of us will talk about what our thoughts are. And then we've got until 2 o'clock till our next meeting starts. So if we need to continue past then, we sure will. I don't have any particular open comments. I'll ask Julie if you have comments first, and I'll turn it over to the portfolio holder.
I don't have any opening comments. I have lots of thoughts and comments, but I don't need to make any opening comments.
All right, perfect. With that, I will reserve my comments first. Usually, just for Randy and Julie, as Julie, I have my thoughts as well, too, but I always like to let the portfolio holder get their pitch in first, and then we can go from there. So with that, I'll turn it right over to Commissioner Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just ask Shelley and Pat to interrupt if I'm misstating something, because not the longest term supervisor of weights and measures programs. But as I understand it, really, we really have four key issues with this scale. They didn't leave enough clearance underneath it. The door is too close to the scale. And then from extending out of the scale, the area that's supposed to be kind of a flat apron is not quite as long as it should be, although at least in that case it's close. Most everything else, they're way off. And then the ramp that leads up to that is way steeper than what our regulations would require. So kind of taking them in sort of backwards order, My understanding, based on the length of these scales, and one's slightly longer than the other, but that the long... Oh, and by the way, I guess just as far as the opening statement, I really hope we can reach some kind of resolution on it as quickly as possible so they know what they either have to fix before they can start using it, or that they can start using it and know what they have to fix in the meantime, or that we've decided they're just fine, but... In any event, I think moving quick is important here.
Okay, and if I could just interject, too, that's always, I think, important for the portfolio holder to set their expectations of our work session, because if we know going into it that this is not going to be a decision we reach today, it just lets us know that right up front, where Randy said he hopes for us to get to a decision here today.
I'm hoping we
can. And so that kind of sets for you and I. And if we know right up front that we can't get to that, then we let him know and we could save some time. But I think I'm prepared to make a decision. So
I am too.
Okay.
And I'm frankly kind of negotiable on all these factors. But
I think
generally I have some ideas. My understanding on the long slope that leads up to it, where they're too steep, based on the length of these scales, within our standards, one should be like 40 feet and one should be 43 feet. And we require no more than 1/3 of an inch per foot of slope. And their ramp is about 10 feet instead of 40 or more. And it rises at just over 1.5 inches per foot. I had the guys up in the mine.
I have a question. I thought that their straight approach to the scale was 40 feet. That's what was required, and they have that. My understanding that there wasn't in their. So that's, I'm confused by what you just said, that they only have 10 feet or whatever. There's an issue with the cab.
It's straight enough, but the ramp leading up to it is short and steep instead of long and gradual.
Now, they described it as a 10 degree. That doesn't strike me as short and steep. A 10 or 8. What was the degree?
10 degree. You'll see something here. I had the mine guys. I didn't know they were going to be this fancy. That's the big one they came up with. But what these two lines are would be a comparison. The short one would be what the slope of something that was 10 feet long rising at 1.5 inches per foot.
I can't really see it. The table is...
But it's on there, too.
Okay.
And then the long line is what you would get with a ramp that's 40 feet long rising at 1/3 of an inch per foot. So that's the difference.
So they have the 40 feet. They just don't have the appropriate rise.
But this would extend then straight out pretty much,
yeah,
because they have the length. So this would be then flat out to this point or whatever.
No, I don't
think
so.
No,
they have the 40 feet, so how would it be? I mean, it doesn't just stop here. It goes out.
Well, yeah, it currently is flat there, yeah.
Yeah, so this would be flat and then up.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Pat looked like he was going to say something.
and my understanding, when I said, well, just bring in some gravel and build that up further so it's more gradual, and that problem is solved. And he said it's an issue with drainage.
Right.
And frankly, my own thought is that drainage issues can be solved. They need to get someone in there with a loader or something, and maybe this isn't enough volume to really put a big culvert under it and then still have enough covering over the culvert. So maybe you have to have kind of a little drainage ditch like a creek would be, that so there's room for a culvert. But I think they could fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, I guess I'm feeling like we probably would. But on the other hand, what they have here, apparently they feel works. And if truckers don't like it, I suppose truckers won't come. I guess I would be fine with allowing them to get started and giving them a variance for over the summer or something, but that by fall they have to have that corrected.
I go back to the purpose of the regulation. ease of vehicle access, ease of testing, and drainage away from the scale is what I wrote down as kind of the the NIST rationale for what we want to accomplish here.
Just a quick thought, though. It's not NIST that sets this standard. It's this standard that complies with the NIST, but not North Dakota.
I know. I know they don't set this standard, but that's in their discussion about this issue. NIST says this is what you need to think about.
Right.
This is the point of regulating this. Ease of vehicle access, ease of testing, and drainage away from the scale. So if we aren't compromising those things by what they have, then I don't think it's necessarily I don't think it's probably necessary to make them change it.
Okay.
Okay. And just for follow-up, but I just got this on the way over. Should have thought of asking for it earlier. I don't know what percentage a third of an inch per foot is. Yeah. Or what percentage 1.55 inches per foot is. But I called the DOT, and if they were constructing a highway and got to a hill that needs to be cut, so they want to make it as steep as possible, they would try and hold it at 5% grade. And if they have a hill that's more than 5%, they would probably mark it with one of those steep hill signs, you know. So 5% is kind of what you would see on a pretty steep incline of a highway. So that's...
And what's this one?
I don't know the percentages.
I have my phone.
Keep going.
Oops.
Well, 1 inch per foot would be 8%.
It's 0.125. Okay, so 12%. 12.5%.
Theirs is. Yeah, that would sound right. Ours is probably about 3. So, I mean, ours is like not even as steep as what you'd find just on a highway. Theirs is significantly steeper. Frankly, I think theirs is pretty steep and ours is pretty aggressively gradual.
Mm.
But that's something I think one of the things here is how many things are we just letting go? I think this is maybe the easiest thing to fix if we want them to at least make an effort to be in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have been. So we've got that issue. Whether it's 10 feet of flat or 12 feet of flat, I don't think it would be very hard for them if they're altering this grade to put a couple more feet of concrete in there either and follow our rules. Again, I don't know if there's a strong need for the rule, but then we should be changing the rules, not because we should change the rules because we feel they're too aggressive, not because someone doesn't want to follow them. That is something I think they could do over the course of the summer. They could put a couple more feet of concrete there and redo their slope. The door thing, I think, is a lot more substantial, and in that chart where you put together some comparison of some of the surrounding states, I think we're the only state that worries about that. Was there one other?
I don't know if it ended up in here enough, but for Montana, for their livestock scales, they require 5 feet.
Oh, but not on these truck scales.
Right.
And so on that door issue, I guess I'm kind of thinking that's an area where maybe we should be changing our rule. If we're just the only one doing it. Unless, I mean, you guys have worked in this business a long time, and I'm new to it, unless you can come up with a really good reason. I mean, I understand it's handy to have someone where to set your stuff, where it's out of the wind and that, but if it didn't have a door and didn't have, then we wouldn't be worrying about it, and they wouldn't have anywhere to put their stuff. So I don't know. I guess I'm not real high on keeping that rule, to tell you the truth. And the biggest one to me is the height of that scale. And in comparing the other states, some are the same as us. Some are 6 inches, but these guys are only 5. And I didn't see anybody that has a rule as low as 5.
I believe it's Nebraska is 3 inches.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
That's the easiest one to monitor, though. I mean, if the purpose of that rule is to maintain the integrity and accuracy of the scale, we can require additional measurements.
Testing.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
so
I'm
that
thinking
we,
on that one.
We can look at that and even give them a temporary variance for several years, requiring additional testing. And then when they, we can look at it and see if it's jumping around a lot or not. But down the road could provide a permanent variance if it seems like things are going okay, but we could still require the additional monitoring at that time or not.
Yeah. I agree with you. And so that's where I've been headed here. Like I say, I'm kind of negotiable on all these things. I don't have a really solid plan that is inalterable. But I really look at the height of that scale as something that it's frustrating that they just wouldn't even bother to check and just go throw it in however they want to. And now we should accommodate them. But it is what it is. And whether we would go to our existing rule or to, like most of the other states, at 6 inches, in either event, it would be a huge outlay of money for them to fix it, even to change 1 inch. And so I'm thinking on that one, we could give them a variance with additional testing. On the door, frankly, I think we probably ought to give them a variance and just change our rule and eliminate it. And on the flat part of their road in and out, as well as the ramp, I think we should give them a variance for however many months or through the construction season they've got all summer. They should see what they can do to get it into compliance. And if they choose not to and just assume that we'll let them go, or change our rules come fall, they can not do anything. And come back here and make their case of why it was too expensive and they chose to gamble. Or they should get on the stick over the course of the summer and get it fixed up and get into compliance like other people did when they set up theirs.
I stepped up for a minute. I missed the one variance and approach, door issue, height of scale. What was the fourth one I missed?
It also has to do with the approach, but the part that's flat.
Okay, so that part would
require probably 12 feet. They're at 10.
And you probably
and if they're going to alter the sloped part of their approach,
right?
Frankly, they could come in there with a backhoe, dig out a couple feet, and pour in some concrete and make it 12 feet.
Got it.
Okay. I don't think we require it to be a continuous piece of concrete, is it? Can it be? In two sections?
Sure, as long as the sections don't sway and from settling, or if they're connected and they stay together.
I mean, I don't think that would be.
So, what's the purpose of the 2 extra feet? NIST, there, the 10 feet is what NIST requires.
I guess the purpose for me is that it's just what the rule is, and I've never met with our scale tester. I've never met with any people that are in that business actually out doing the tests. And until I'm a little uncomfortable with throwing out all these rules and just assuming that they were put in place without a lot of consideration after 3.5 weeks on the job. And so I'd like to get them guys to follow as many of the rules as reasonable that we have. And they can come in over the, I guess they can not do it, or they can keep making a case of why we should change our rules, and maybe we ought to on some of these rules. But I'm not just there yet because they don't really care to follow the ones that we have.
Well, I see this as two issues. We've got this issue, and then we've got the issue of whether our rules are what they should be or not. I don't necessarily think we need to look at them as one, because we have a lot of variances granted all over this. It sounds like to me there have been other variances granted.
How many variances? With the exception of we know anything before 95 probably was okay. The so when we say a lot, we say more than 100. Okay.
But what's the
number
of...
How would we decide which variances we're going to go to meet to put all of those into compliance? You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's why I keep coming back to what's the purpose of the rule. Are they going to be meeting that to the best? You know, can we feel comfortable saying they, with what they've got here, are meeting, not jeopardizing a lot of these issues, and how can we mitigate it if they are?
Well, maybe the first part of the answer, though, I think has to be, out of all these variances, I'm assuming that's mostly things that were grandfathered in once. I mean, have we been granting lots of variances?
I cannot recall one in the last 4 years that comes to mind on a variance. There was one where we had they didn't give enough room, we made them fix the door. I don't recall approving any variances in the last 4 years.
Typically the director approves variances, and there have been variances, and that's what I've been doing. We've had one for sure. And we don't have these in the same categories that we've divided up our issues.
Right.
Okay.
So we do have the full list, and we do have the description of the variances, and so we could categorize them, and, if you wanted to know how many of each kind we've given and what the dates are.
See, one thing when I stepped out, I wanted to talk to Alana a little bit, just for my colleagues, that one of the things that's unique about the commission is we make our decision based on a record developed. So when I asked the gentleman to enter his stuff into the record for the informal, that's part of the record. So when we make decisions on stuff, it's very important that if we're going to base our decision on something, we have a document that we can tie back to. So that's where I just wanted to give that caveat that, like even Randy's, the map he put together, we should put that in. This should be docketed. So that becomes, if we base that decision based on the different approaches, what we do or don't do on it. So we want to make sure that as we develop things, because let's say we make a decision, whatever it is, and the individual appeals it, what they'll look back for is what was developed in the record was what the judge would decide to grant the appeal one way or the other. So that's just my...
Well, the drawing that we have is just a visual depiction of what we have in the record.
Okay. You know. Well, that's kind of stuff to point out there. When Pat's saying that, then we don't have to put it in there. So I guess for where I'm at, though, is that I think what I'm hearing from you, and this is categorizing the Julie, you're more likely just to approve the variance and move on some of this.
Not a permanent. I think I would feel comfortable approving a temporary variance for a set amount of time requiring additional certifications of the scale to make sure that it's, you know, the integrity of the scale is not jeopardized by what they have constructed.
And then we have a separate issue of the rules, which I think the rules, we should always be looking at our rules, period. So how would it sound if we, because I'm kind of, I agree with all the points I'm hearing everywhere. I think the way a potential way through this is I would not like to issue a permanent variance on anything until we have some time to work through this. So we would issue a temporary variance on everything, and if we have additional, I think we put, like one of you said, that additional requirements for the testing of the scale. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of see where that goes out to. If it comes back it's not meeting criteria, then we would rescind that one. I think for the door issue, the temporary, there's really not much to do with it other than just kind of wait and see how it all plays out. The height of the scale, we do testing with it. The part that I think that I'm a little, I mean, it could be swayed either way, is the approach length and the variance on approach. Can we do something, Pat and Shelley, where we basically say you've got a temporary variance, but we would like you to submit to the commission plans to get into compliance with North Dakota law with the cost. And then we could then look at that at that time and decide if we would ask them to do it or not do it. That's where I think the one area that we're kind of back and forth a little bit. You know what I mean? Where we could just say do it. And then, well, but
I'm a little concerned of basing it just on cost. If it's, but that's, I mean, if it's an issue,
that we can, that's one of the criteria that we can use to grant a variance is excessive cost. So it becomes a record trail as to why we granted the variance, that we had them look at it, and that's the only reason I say that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe along with that, getting our scale guy to look at it and see if there's any issues with the slope. I mean, if that's, that seems like the biggest, you know, potential issue is, does that slope create any hazardous conditions or
sure.
jeopardize the accuracy of the scale in some way, because the, I don't know how it would, because it's not measured on there. So, I mean,
again,
product gets in and it's measured, right? It drives in, it's flat, it's measured and weighed.
Again, you know, this isn't, I guess, stuff from the record, but I know from when I hauled gravel and we drove up on the scale all the time, you know, you get our moist springs and our sometimes moist falls and occasional rainfalls over the course of the summer, and you get there with the truck and you're waiting, someone else is there, so it's not like you're coming with a nice big run, and in this case, they're already limited on the ground to get looped around, so they don't have a nice head of speed built up. And if it's a little smeary out, or have worse yet, when there's freezing rain, and they get on the gravel and the truck's wheel hopping and trying to chug up the ramp, and the next thing you know, they're sliding down off of it and tipping over, and there's guys working, there's people working there. I'm guessing that's why we... One time,
well, isn't it some of it too that
gradual
if you have the gradual slope, you're less likely to put a shock on the scale.
If you
gradually pull up there and you level off, that the scale is more likely to stay in compliance. If you're hitting up there and pounding on the scale as you come on it, you're putting a shock in the scale.
That's why I think
a flat pad on top, so they go up and then there's a flat spot, and then they go to the scale. Isn't that how it's designed?
Well,
and their 10 feet is, we want them to have 12 feet of level, and they have 10 feet of level before the scale. Maybe the trucks are longer than 10 feet, I suppose.
But. Yeah, that's the thing. The trucks are longer than 10 feet. And, you know, when we visited with our inspector about what some of the purposes of this might be, and he indicated that when you get on the scale with a tractor pulling the trailer, I mean, you don't want to be turning the wheels of the tractor when you're on the scale. And because it puts a lot of stress on the load cells that are used for weighing. And I think that the same thing would apply if you're coming up to a scale and you get the on a ramp like what they're talking about. You get up that first 10 feet and then you've got a 10-foot flat area, and now you're getting your drive wheels up on the scale. But your tractor or your trailer is still might not even be on the ramp on either of those two concrete platforms yet, depending on the length of the truck. And so you have, if you have mud or whatever, you've got the tractor pulling up on the scale, and you've got the trailer stuck in the mud. And I think that would cause a lot of stress on the load cells. But, you know, we didn't have any.
And I would think that the company would be very interested in not having that happen, because it would be their equipment at risk, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
The one of the things that this is just commission protocol, I guess, that we sometimes work sessions will quickly all come to the same conclusion, right? And then sometimes we'll never quite know where the three of us are at. And then so what oftentimes happens then is that the portfolio holder will ask staff to put together an order. And so Randy, as a portfolio holder, would have an order put together with saying what he thinks is right. And then you and I would then either agree with him and get that one of us would be a majority, or we'd prepare our own order. So then you could potentially have a case where Commissioner Crispin puts an order that says, I'm going to waive everything. And you put together a counter order that says, nope, I'm not going to waive anything. So that's kind of where we get to that point now where I think I hear general consensus that we think there's some opportunity for variance, but I don't know. Come to closure on this right now.
Well, it seems to me we could.
Okay, so what are you preparing? That's the part what staff likes to hear, what they want to put an order together. Because isn't that ultimately, I mean, did I lay that out correctly, that you get to where you put together an order and we vote on it?
Sure. In this particular case, the recommendation from our legal counsel is to do it the way we do other variances, and that's by letter. We thought a cover letter with a variance permit attached that they can attach to the scale.
Okay.
And so it's not an order, so to speak, here, but we could do the same thing with this if there wasn't a consensus. We could work with the portfolio holder to develop the letter and the variance permit the manner that the portfolio holder thought was right, and then bring it back for commission discussion.
But this but is if you're not too variance, far apart. Typical variance wouldn't come to us.
Right.
So it's not a typical variance.
It isn't. No, this, right, but the suggestion was to handle this one.
Just like the other ones.
With a letter and a variance permit, just like
and
the
who
others.
Would sign the letter?
I would be signing that. But.
We'd want to include this as some.
We have a case, yeah. And we would docket it in the case. And then the final decision would be that cover letter and that variance permit.
Okay, well, then let's by the numbers then. Here's where I'm at. The height of this scale, I think we do a temporary variance. And we ask them to test it once a month, and they submit that to us. If it turns out after some period of time that the numbers are holding, maybe we look at a permanent variance. That's where I would be right now if I was asked. So that's where.
I don't know if even once a month is
necessary.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of.
Okay.
Every 2 or 3 months would be fine.
I was thinking like quarterly.
But I think we need to emphasize not just a test that shows that it's in compliance, but a test to show what they had to do to get it into compliance.
Okay, so you would like quarterly?
I think quarterly would satisfy me, I think.
Okay.
And you mean, I think what I'm hearing is that as found, when the tester comes to test the scale, we have the as found readings.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
it's way off, yeah. And they fix it. That doesn't tell us much if we only know that it's accurate now.
Yep. Good point.
Yeah, because the results just show it fixed. The little form, yeah, that's good.
When we grant variances, are they forever or they come for renewal?
They're temporary.
What is the temporary time frame on this? Will we set it?
I'm sorry, what was
it? Would we set the time frame for this?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so.
The only thing, if we want to avoid noncompliance with the NIST regulation.
Which is a good thing.
It would be a 6 months max before they'd have to put in permanent, but this is a permanent structure already. But if it was a portable scale, for example, and they didn't have the foundation and the concrete pads and all that, then it would 6 months would be the max. But I think on this one, since we already have a permanent structure and everything, it's not limited to that.
We could go a little more.
I think we could.
I was thinking 9 months. That gets them all the way through October. Anything they're going to get fixed would have to be done by then anyway. They can't count on working past October.
So you're saying quarterly with you have 9 months to do it? Okay.
To do what?
In 9 months from now, we will review this to decide whether it should become a permanent variance or something else.
And we can let them decide if they want to fix the other things or just come back to us with quotes or
sure.
Whatever.
I mean, I think that if they during the time the scales keep getting out of compliance, they're going to know that we're probably not going to. I would not approve it
right. If
asked again 9 months from now.
Okay.
But until we have
some data.
I mean, we kind of have to operate under an assumption that our rules are sensible. That our rules are appropriate or that they're inappropriate. And so shouldn't we be at least under the assumption that the things that are reasonably priced to do, they should be doing, and not just leave it hanging out there. And because if we get through the end of October and we've talked to our scale people more and learned more about the scale industry and about the jobs we're in now,
right.
And feel that for North Dakota conditions, what they have is pretty steep, Well, then it'll be too late. Then they can't do anything because it's winter time. And it seems to me they ought to be assuming that what they can do, they should be doing in the, over the course of the summer.
Well, and that's I guess maybe let's just plow through this real quick and come back to that, because the next one, the door issue, I think in this particular case, the same scenario that we do the variance for the 9 month period of time, and we come back and look at it to see, because that's where
they can't though. I mean, there's really nothing they can do to fix that door.
Right,
but they'd have to raise the roof on the whole structure.
But what the temporary variance gives us time to do, I think, is to look a little bit deeper at our rules to answer what he was just talking about. Because I don't think I could conclusively say that our rules for this are good or bad. And then, just let me follow through. Then the approach one, though, that's one I think I think they have to give us something why, how they plan to fix it. Because it goes back and it says, okay, we can fix it to meet the standards. It'll cost this amount of money. That has to be submitted to us. And if we look at it 9 months from now and we decide that it's too much, but there's an expectation there that they may have to do the work to come into compliance.
I have a suggestion then. Along those lines, we could ask them for a plan for compliance by October.
There we go.
To be filed, this plan to be filed within a month.
That's exactly what I was just going to suggest, yeah, based on what you said. Can we have them present something to us and get a little feel for whether it's our expectations that they do it or not do it before the summer's gone?
But, you know, their plan for compliance in the door could be take off the whole outside structure. That's crazy. But they'd be in compliance for the door.
Well, we could. I mean, I wasn't suggesting that. I was thinking of the other things that
a good idea.
Commissioner Chrisman was thinking they should fix. For those things, for the approach, slope of the approach, and the length of the approach, and of the sloped approach, and the concrete pad extending it another 2 feet, that they provide this plan within a month for compliance by October. And then the commission can review the plan when we get it.
But Julie's point, though, maybe is correct, that we don't even mess with the door issue, make that a permanent variance.
I mean, we can just leave it for now. They aren't
right.
going to do anything with it, so we can, you know.
I just don't like doing permanent yet until we spend some more time thinking on this a little bit. But, yes, it does come down to the practicality. But if we do a permanent variance and we've got some more data to say why we did the permanent variance based on something, we could, I think it gives us more standing going forward when we see these coming up, because this might become the new norm. If we approve it once, then we don't approve somebody else's, they would say, why not?
We have one pending, actually, on the 5 foot. So I think you could do the temporary variance, not make a decision about the door at this time, but you aren't asking for them for a plan of compliance on the door necessarily.
Right.
Just on the other things, on the other two. And then for the clearance under the scale, it's the testing. The quarterly testing that we think will tell us whether that's an issue or not.
But there was, yeah, okay.
Although, no. If they wanted to move the doors, I mean,
they can do anything.
Come out 3 feet, put a frame around it, yeah, and move your doors, and a deal of 10 and move your doors out 3 feet. It wouldn't really be all that hard.
But for compliance?
You know, it's, I just don't really see much point in it when no one else has that.
Well, and I am struggling some with, okay, so we have the whole point of the regulations is to accomplish certain things, and that's why we exist, to make sure that these things are accomplished. We also have this ability to make the variances because life is not black and white. And businesses there has to be some flexibility to accommodate things. Should they have come and found these out? Absolutely. Did they have a reason? No. They didn't even have a good excuse, and he pretty much admitted that. But that's the way it was. They came to North Dakota. They're doing business here. They're trying to make an attempt to do the right thing. I don't think that what they're asking for is putting the public at risk in huge amount of ways, especially if we're going to be checking the accuracy of the scales. I would think that they would have the greatest interest in making sure that the trucks can get access to their scale easily so that it doesn't jeopardize their equipment. Maybe not. So if we want to look at that and see what they can do to fix it, fine. But I think, you know, we need to keep our eye on the ball of what we're trying to do and not just enforce rules to enforce rules, because we have the ability to have variances for this very reason.
What are you saying?
I just don't think that we – I think we need to not get too wrapped up on
the details. So you don't support the permanent – the temporary variance?
I support the temporary variance. I'm not hugely, like, committed to making them fix that slope. But okay. If they want to come forward and give us a plan for it,
okay,
then fine.
So you're not against them submitting a compliance plan?
No.
Okay. There we have consensus.
but let's give them more than a month. It's hard to get someone to give you an estimate on dirt work and stuff.
Okay.
And they're not, if they had a nice plan, they're not going to start in a month anyway.
They're going to start in May or June.
60 or 90 days.
Yep. Okay, so 90 days from, that would be?
Late April.
Okay, do we need a special meeting on this, or you can take this as commission guidance to get the letter back to them, like, now, so they can start doing their business?
I'll run the letter by Commissioner Christman, if that's what you did. You want all three to see it?
I think it's fine to let all three of us see it, but I would throw this out that I think having the portfolio holder sign this one, is there a problem with that? Or is, because like sometimes, like I'll give you pipeline safety, for example, a lot of times I'll sign as the commissioner who has that portfolio instead of staff. Does it matter at all because we had this discussion that we should have the portfolio holder sign it? Or
whatever you want there, that's fine.
But how do we make that determination? Because like you'll sign stuff for certain things and so will I. That,
well, if the, in the past we haven't had commissioners sign variances, so we have this sort of a precedent, but we would never tell a commissioner that they couldn't sign.
Just trying to figure out how we annotate this as something different than a normal variance, if you will. Because this is,
why do we want to?
Well, because it sets a precedence, I guess, that if we're going to come to this kind of discussion, that we, by us saying it, I mean, I can go both ways. There's times when it's better to have a commissioner's name on it because they see the commissioner's name on it, that this is a really serious issue.
Was there a particular thing that caused you to bring this to the commission as opposed to just granting it, or was it that there were so many things?
The one thing that caused me to bring it to the commission is it's the second time that we've had somebody construct and make an installation before and not check the rules in the state of North Dakota. And so I could have given a variance, but that would set a precedent. For me, it's setting a precedent without checking with the commissioners that it doesn't matter about checking with the rules and the laws in North Dakota before you build. And that's why I came to the commission with it.
But then our follow-up should be something like we need to go do something with the groups that build things and reinforce, you know, that they should check in with us.
Is there, do they, these folks apply first with Secretary of State for permit, like a license to operate here, right? Would that be their first connection to the state?
I believe so. Every business needs to register with Secretary of State doing business in North Dakota.
I wonder how, if there's any connection there that the Secretary of State's office directs people to the various agencies where they need to go for their next step, or even if they know where, like, that a scale operator would need to come up here to get the state's rules and regulations on.
Is there a connection there? No, there isn't. Should there be a connection there? I don't think so, because if they forgot to tell that person, then are they liable?
Right.
No, it's the person that's coming to do business in North Dakota needs to check out the laws and rules of North Dakota for their operation.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, we need to stay on schedule today. So are we comfortable with proceeding? So how about this? If you want to sign it, Randy, sign. If you don't, and I just leave that up to just so Randy and Julie know that there's times when if you want to sign stuff, you absolutely can, and there's times when not. But so if you rough up the letter, staff it to the three of us, as soon as you're comfortable, whatever you guys decide is fine with me, who signs it, and we get it back out. But what we should put on the next meeting, schedule a work session on the rules package for weights and measures and go through those a little bit, and then to do something with this discussion.
Schedule a work session. Sure.
Schedule a work session on, what do we call it, weights and measures rulemaking.
Actually, we talked about scheduling one after the session.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with that one? Or?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't hurt to do it.
In the meantime, I'll keep working with you. Maybe we need to figure out, I mean, there can't be like hundreds of companies that make these kinds of scales that are set up for weighing trucks. I'm guessing there's, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 or something. Maybe we need to contact them and make sure, see if we can get them to point out to their customers that North Dakota does not, that has rules that go beyond the whatever that the national standard is.
Yeah.
We have different weather conditions and such, and you're putting your customers in big jeopardy here if they spend a bunch of money setting these up wrong.
Okay.
So the manufacturers, really.
Yeah.
All right, we're up.
And the sellers.
Since we're not doing something dramatic like saying, no, you're out of business, I think we should follow the precedent that we've done before and you sign it, but I'd like to see it.
The we got to get wrapped up here, but we should also put something in the letter that says something to the fact that obviously that this is no, they know that this is a temporary variance, that if the scales are out of whack, that, I mean, we can shut down, if we get a couple scale readings and it's wrong, we can take it away immediately, correct?
I believe our letter covers that now.
All right, good enough. So, okay, unless there's anything else for the good of the order?
I have none.
Close the work session on case number WM13-56. And for anybody listening out there, we'll be reconvening here in about 2 or 3 minutes for the next work session. So thank you.